Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm John Gentry, and it's my pleasure to welcome you here this morning in our 10:45 traditional service. If you're visiting with us today, this is one of two services going on at this time. And as we worship in the sanctuary, be in prayer for the service going on in the celebration service in the Wilson Activity Center. You can also visit our webpage listed on the front of the bulletin to see our sermon library and view all the services here at Asbury. Also, I'd like to remind you to fill out the registration pads at the end of the pew and pass those down just so we will have a record of your attendance. Have several announcements this morning. Note at the bottom of the weekly calendar in the center back of your bulletin, the women's Bible study group will begin a study on January the 28th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. The study is titled Finding the I Am. If you have any questions, contact Jenny Curis or Pat Anderson. Next Friday night, this is February the 9th, come out and have a good time and support our choir. This is a great opportunity to invite your friends and neighbors to join us. I promise you, you'll enjoy it. I was here piddling around the other night and I heard them practicing and it'll move you. It's great. As it's shown on the back of the bulletin, All About Love begins at 6:30 in the WAC. All donations benefit the Asbury Music Program. Also, the Faith Family Dinners are back. Good meal. See the insert in your bulletin for the menu. Don't miss that great time for fellowship. It's a lot of fun. Also, make sure that you see the back of the bulletin about the Scouting Sunday, February the 11th, and Ash Wednesday services will be on February the 14th at 6:30. Please look on the back of on your bulletin to see all the things happening. We have one more announcement. Cheryl Robertson has an announcement for us.
You may have noticed in the last couple of bulletins teasers about a new and improved program. And I'm here to announce that Teenagers we're revamping, and it's going to have a new name called Terrific Tuesday. It's open to all ages 9 to 99, and it will be a lunch served on the first Tuesday of every month, four months in the spring and 4 months in the fall. And we were going to try to get you to invite other people to come for fun and fellowship, get to know your church members better, and then we want to challenge you to reach out into our community and invite other members, your neighbors, your family, your friends. We want to introduce our community to Asbury. One of the most important things is that we are going to support a mission, and we're very happy to announce that we are going to partner with Asbury Food Pantry. And we encourage you to bring a food item each time you come. And if you don't have a food item with you, I'm sure cash donations would be accepted. So please put on your calendar, Tuesday, February 6th, is the first meeting of Terrific Tuesday. We ask only that you make reservations in the church office on Monday by noon. And we hope that you bring somebody with you and that we have a great year with Terrific Tuesday. And now, leading into our choir, the fundraiser for the music department, February 9th, we're going to have a short video to get you in the spirit of love for Valentine's.
Program at Asbury is having a fundraiser on Friday, February the 9th.
It's all about love. We're going going to have a baked potato and salad bar.
And we're having dessert.
For the program, we're singing show tunes.
You lost that love and feeling.
I'm going to sing Taylor Swift, Love Story.
It'll be great fun. Y'all come.
Tickets will be on sale at the door.
All the proceeds are going to the music ministries here at Asbury.
Stand for a call to worship. We gather together in the name of the one who bids us come. We gather together to hear the words of the one who is in love. We gather together to sing praises to the Lord who teaches peace. Come, let us worship. Please remain standing for the hymn of praise. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, on 127. Remain standing and join me in the affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, the third day rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to the judge, quick and dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Thank you. good morning.
Some of you a second good morning, right? Okay. How many of you know where butterflies come from? What is this? What is it?
A butterfly.
It is a butterfly. Where do they come from?
They come from an egg, then they go to a...
And so they hatch out of the egg. You're exactly right. Have you read my book, The Very Hungry Caterpillar? Is that how you know,
no.
Seth? No? Okay. You just know. Okay, good deal. Well, let me tell you something. They do. They start out as caterpillars, and they build cocoons around themselves after they eat an awful lot, and then they start eating their way out of their cocoon, and it comes out as a beautiful butterfly. They do eat a lot, don't they? They have to store up. Well, you know what? That's sort of like something that we study in the Bible. Do you remember a man by the name of Nicodemus in the Bible? Well, he went to Jesus one night. And he went at night because he didn't want anybody else to see him go. And when he got there, what he wanted to know is what Jesus was all about. Because Jesus told him that unless you are born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus said, well, how can that happen? And it's almost like the cocoon, the caterpillar, the cocoon, and the butterfly. Because when you go from this to this, it's not just a pretty caterpillar, is it? It's a new creature. It's a butterfly. And when we let Jesus come into our heart, we become a new creature, just like the caterpillar does when he becomes a butterfly. So Jesus lives in our heart and turns us into new creatures. Okay? It's almost like that. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we praise you that in Jesus Christ we are new creations. The old one is gone and the new one has come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love. Holy, holy, holy.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy.
Before we go to God in prayer this morning, I have one more announcement of praise. Tristan Smith arrived at Friday, a 6-pound, 13-ounce child to Megan and Chris Smith, all doing well. Now keep in your hearts and prayers those listed in our bulletin. Betty Wyatt, Charlie Ward Sr., Jean Beth Hill, Vicki Smith, Bob McInturf, Dave Mackey, John Carson, Lonnie Baker, Chi Dolan, and the family and friends of Hila Ruminer. Let us pray. Our most loving and gracious God, we stand before you this morning with gladness in our heart. You know us to the very core of our spirits. We thank you for being an intimate God who is as close as a whisper and not one far off on some mountaintop to be feared. We invite your presence here this morning, and we recognize your presence this morning. Father, you have called us and to an inheritance in the riches of glory. For all of us who are called your children, we are all treated as the oldest son in the Old Testament days and are the recipients of all the riches of your kingdom. Help us to be worthy each day. Cleanse us from evil and protect us from the evil one who would want nothing more than to rob us of our joy, the joy of being a child of the living God. Lord, we also thank you for the Holy Spirit. We are joined together with Jesus, who said, "He is the vine and you are the gardener." It is through your Holy Spirit that we stay grafted to your Son and bear the fruit of the Spirit you so desire. Keep us mindful, the one who sits at your right hand is the one who paid the ultimate price for us. He is the one in whose name we pray and the one who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are the great provider, the father of many nations. Abraham called you Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. Lord, we thank you for the provisions you give us daily. Never let us forget all good things come from you, the Father. Bless these tithes and offerings. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Give me one pure and holy passion.
Give me one magnificent obsession.
Give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you. To know and follow hard after you.
To know and follow hard after you. To grow as your disciple in your truth.
Grow as your disciple.
This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on, and I will run after you. Lead me on, and I will run after you. Give me one pure and holy passion.
Give me one magnificent.
magnificent obsession. Give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you.
Please remain standing for our hymn of meditation, Take My Life and Let It Be, on page 399.
Please be seated. I must say a word to our youth praise singers and band. Wow. Wow. Under the direction of Scott Southern, the joy of the Lord is just growing in you and in your voices and in your instruments, and I'm so grateful for that. So very grateful. Let's turn today as we look to the story of Nicodemus. Let's go to John. The Gospel of John, the third chapter, looking at the first three verses. As the people of God are surely blessed by this hearing and reading of God's holy word as we find it in John 3, 1 through 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The word of God for the people of God. So have you ever had a time in your life when you didn't recognize someone? I mean, their appearance has changed, or maybe their demeanor, their behavior has changed to such that you can hardly recognize them. And have you ever had someone hardly recognize you? Well, sometimes that's for a good reason. Sometimes it's not. A couple of weeks ago, we lost one of the saints of the church, Mildred Bradley. I took her Christmas communion a couple of weeks before she passed away. But prior to that, I'd seen her in October. And on my October visit to her, something very interesting happened. Mildred, toward the end of her life, had gotten to where she didn't hear very well, she didn't see very well, and you would literally have to get up into her face for her to recognize you unless she already recognized your voice. She could always count on that to be the identifying factor for her. So I went by to see her this October day, and, you know, I kind of started lightening up my hair a little bit at the end of the summer. And she took one look at me after I said, "Hi, Mildred, it's so good to see you. Of course, it's Pastor Mary." And she said, "What has Asbury done to you? You've turned white." I know. It was a great moment. I said, "Asbury's fine. We're all good. I've just gone a little lighter." Change is something we all need. And if we live long enough, we know we're all going to experience. It's an ongoing part of life. Changes can occur in our surroundings and in people to the point where it's almost unrecognizable. And yet, you would think at this day and time, we would certainly adapt pretty well to change, because never before in human history has news changed so quickly that it changes almost before it is uttered on the broadcast. The old saying has never been truer: life happens when you've made other plans. And sometimes we'll find ourselves trying to save face and go, "Oh, I planned it that way." You know, "Oh, I wanted that chicken to be that crispy." But when it comes to our spiritual selves, and really, you really can't divide or separate out your spiritual self from your physical self. We're talking more than changes in plans or switching dates on a calendar. Real interchange calls for transformation, and this is what is happening in this encounter with Nicodemus and Jesus Christ. Nicodemus is an educated man. Nicodemus is sitting on the high Sanhedrin council. He's used to determining how someone is going to live and how they are not going to live. He has that kind of power. And yet, all the power in the world and probably some wealth, he had a void. He was feeling something missing in his life, and he knew it, and he knew Jesus had the answer. And so he came calling on him, but he didn't want to be seen, because the Sanhedrin council, the Jewish hierarchy, were not thrilled with this man named Jesus. Oh, they recognized he had a gift for teaching. He was called teacher and rabbi. He was even allowed in the synagogues to preach and to teach. But he was so on the edge of things. He was so controversial that Nicodemus, as badly as he wanted to visit with Jesus, he knew he had to go when he wouldn't be seen, when his own status and time would not be threatened. And when Jesus might be more available, there wouldn't be all the crowds of the day following him, reaching for him. He would have maybe, just maybe, some time alone with this Jesus. He knew something was missing in his life. We often recognize we're at a point in our lives and something's missing, and we are aware of it, and we're searching diligently to find just what it is. And we decide we're going to turn over a new leaf when we turn over the new page of the calendar. Or we're going to turn over a new leaf when we go to a new job or move to a new town. But real change, my friend, starts with new life, not a new leaf. And this is what Jesus is saying. And of course, the conversation goes on. What do you mean being born anew? I can't go back into my mother's womb and be born. Of course, he says, of course not. We're not talking about flesh and blood here. The Apostle Paul wrote, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have passed away, for the new has come. In other words, the way we think before we knew Christ, the way we behave and act before we knew Christ, that the focus of our living before we knew Christ is old stuff. Goes in the garbage heap. Worthless. But when we know Christ, the defining factor, we go to Jesus, and literally, what would Jesus do? We may not wear it around our wrist, but that should be our focus. What would Jesus have us do? I know this Jesus. I follow this Jesus. I love this Jesus. I want to live this Jesus. I want this Jesus to be in me. And I want the world to see and know that by what I say and what I do. The very heart of the Christian faith evolves around change and committing to this new life. Now, in the Old Testament, we see the cycle played out in the life of King Solomon. He tried to change himself through human ingenuity. He thought, well, I'll practice all the wisdom I can in the world. I'll learn all that I can learn, and I will be a new creation that way. And he was one of the smartest people ever. Hear what he wrote in Ecclesiastes 1, 12 through 18. I, the preacher, have been kings over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my mind to seek out wisdom in all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that I find myself busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and it is full of vanity and like striving after the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight again. And what is lacking cannot be numbered. I have acquired great wisdom and knowledge, but in much wisdom and much vexation and increases in knowledge and sorrow. Something was missing. Solomon acknowledges that all the wisdom in the world, something is missing. King Solomon, all of his glory, recognized that facts change. Experience is subjective, and what works for one does not work for the other, and what is true for one is not true for the other. Accept the word of the Lord. So we have this statement of truth by Jesus in John 3:3. As he responds to Nicodemus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says one must be born again. Jesus is speaking of transformation. He's speaking of rejuvenation. This is why we had the children's sermon with the caterpillar and the butterfly. What a perfect example of transformation. That dry, white, paper-like cocoon that looks full of death, full of nothingness. We just don't see it. It has life ready to burst forth. Like the dead, dirty bulb you plant in the fall. And perhaps you're beginning to see just a few of those green tender shoots pop up of crocus and daffodils and iris to come. It looks dead, it looks dirty, it looks lifeless, but it has life in it. Just ready to burst forth. But real change, we have to acknowledge, is a process. not a destination. We United Methodists don't tout the once saved, always saved. We understand that we are capable of falling from grace. We are capable of casting off Jesus. Now, we understand that our walk in this Christian journey is a day-to-day transforming, a day-to-day converting, not a once conversion. Well, you're done. Go ahead and do whatever you want to. Doesn't matter. I think it does matter. I think it matters a great deal to Jesus. How we honor Jesus, how we love Jesus. Are we living in a way that someone says, I can tell you know Jesus? That's my hope and prayer, that someone sees that. There's a wonderful praise song. It's a little bit older, but it's entitled, He Who Began a Good Work in You. Lovely tune, lovely song, and it comes from Philippians 1:6. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So Paul is referencing this pretty blatant culture around them. I mean, bad things, naughty things are happening in the city, and not only in the city, in the holy place like the temple. And Paul is saying, none of that is a part of who you are now as you claim Christ. Paul references the culture surrounding them when people also were literally veiling themselves when they came to worship in the presence of God. Now, why do you suppose they wore veils over their faces when they were in the presence of God? Look at you. Look at me. We're totally exposed. We want to soak up the presence of God. We want to feel the warmth of His Spirit, the light of His radiance and presence. Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with unveiled faces are reflecting the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is in the Spirit. He was saying, okay, in your Jewish culture, in your Jewish ways, before you knew Jesus Christ, sure, veil yourselves. Because you're imitating or implicating the veil of the curtain of the Holy of the Holies where they believed God lived. And the tabernacle. But with Christ, Christ burst through all those things in transformation and in new life. Unveil your face. Be fresh and clean and uncovered before the Lord. As you look back over your life, can you see changes in your spiritual life? I mean, even you young people, can you see a change in you from when you, say, were in the fourth or fifth grade to where you are now? Can you, all of you, remember a time that you weren't so crazy about how you thought about church or how you prayed to God or how you loved Jesus? Can you remember? Can you see that you have gotten better? Can you see that you are more mature in the faith? Can you see that you are more patient and compassionate and loving and tolerant? Praise be to God, I can see that myself. I like who I am as a Christian so much more than I did, say, when I was in my 30s. I've got a long way to go, but I've come a long way. And I give God and Jesus Christ all the praise and the glory. And each of us should be able to look over our lives and say, am I better? Am I more mature in Christ? Am I less judgmental and more loving? Am I less self-righteous and more holy because I'm judging less and loving more? Change is letting go and allowing the grace of God to grab a hold of your soul. The disciples, just were constantly trying to get it, just like you and I are constantly trying to understand the Bible. And sometimes I got it, and sometimes I didn't. And one time, Jesus sent them out to spread the gospel, to heal if they came across something that needed healing. And he said, I'm giving you the power in Jesus Christ to do that. And they came across this man who was possessed by a demon. And try as they might, they couldn't cast out this demon. And they came back to Jesus with their head kind of, you know, down and like, well, I guess we're just not very spiritual or righteous or something. We just couldn't do it. You gave us the power and we just couldn't do it. You know what Jesus said? Something very simple. And it's at the heart of you and I changing and healing who we are. He said, some of these instances and demons and spirits can only be cast out with prayer. Apostle Paul was speaking to new Christians as the church of that small group of disciples and the early church that burst forth after that grand sermon of Peter and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. These churches were growing along Eastern Europe, and Paul was preaching to people in Ephesus and Philippi and Corinth, and they had all kinds of cultural things going on, and a lot of them didn't jive with practicing the Christian faith. And he told them if they were truly changed in Christ, they would need to continue to do some of the things that they were doing. I think they were calling themselves Judeo-Christians, Jewish Christians. See, they were still hanging on to their roots. Well, I still hang on to mine. I'm very proud of who I was and who my family was in United Methodism. My heritage is important to me. So I kind of understand this. But what I also understand is what Paul is saying. You don't need the outer stuff of what was so important to you in your former religion. You don't need all of that anymore. All you need is Christ. Because all that stuff was part of Jesus' heritage too. He was a Jew. But he's come to say you don't need all of that. You see, you just need the love of God in Christ Jesus and the faith and the belief that he triumphed over death and resurrection to save you. And you're going to be with God forever if you just believe and follow that love of God. He said, no longer do you need to worry about whether you're eating pork. No longer do you need to worry about how many times you're washing your hands. Although if it was flu season, he would say, keep washing your hands. No longer do you need to worry with the veils. And on and on and on. All of the laws of Leviticus and all of those laws. He said, that's not what matters. And hear what he said at the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 4:20-24. But that now is not now how you learned about the Messiah, assuming you heard him and were taught by him, because the truth is in Jesus. You took off your former way of life, the old man that is you, put on the new man, the one created according to God's likeness and righteousness and purity of truth. You see, I believe Paul is saying what Jesus said to the disciples. What he said to those who he was teaching. He says, it's not what you take into your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out. It's that gossip. It's that judgment. It's those opinions that a lot of people don't care about anyway, but you're sure free to give them. As am I. So why is it so hard to be transformed? Why is it so hard? I think one thing, we're stubborn. And perhaps we like just enough of ourselves. We don't really want to change too much. That could be one thing. We're resistant to change. Preachers know this better than anybody in the whole world. Oh, we got us a new preacher. I'm so glad we got us a new preacher. We need some fresh ideas. We need some fresh things. You get in there and you work your tail off. And guess what? Oh, well, we didn't mean for you to change that. And no, we've always done it this way. And what do you mean trying this here? Yeah, I know all about change. And people's resistance to it. Maybe another thing is we feel trapped. gosh, this is all I know. This is the only way I know how to behave. This is all I know, who I am, my whole life, my personality. Maybe it's because we become so comfortable, which lends to apathy. Yeah. Congregations can be apathetic. Preachers can be apathetic. Everything's good. Let's just leave everything alone. Let's don't ruffle those waters because we are resistant to change. Because we are afraid people won't like us if we're different and if we're new and if we proclaim and live for Christ. Would that affect some of your friendships? Are there some people that suddenly would feel uncomfortable around you? And I don't mean that you're touting scripture all the time and saying, thank you, Jesus, all the time and praying all the time. I don't mean that you're doing that all the time. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. Would that affect some of the people that you know and love? And would it feel sacrificial to you not to change because you don't want to affect the friendship, which is more important? Is there a way that we can bring Jesus to others that does not threaten or affect them? I think not. Perhaps not to threaten them, but we always want Jesus to affect them. Amen. I didn't hear that. Maybe we don't want to claim the power we know is available to us because we think like the disciples will fail. Have you ever felt like you failed Jesus? I would say every time we sin, we feel like we have failed Jesus. And guess what? Jesus never leaves us down on the floor. He picks us right back up and he says, come on, we're going to try this again. We're going to keep loving. We're going to keep going. We've got the power. God reminds of this of us to all the time in his word. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is without foundation, and so is your faith. In other words, why are we here if Christ hadn't been raised? I mean, you can go through the history books and see tons of Christian martyrs, even through crucifixion. That's not what saves us. It's the power of the resurrection. It's the love of the sacrifice in that cross. It's the power of the resurrection, the living Jesus Christ. And the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his spirit who lives in you. I can't wait. First of all, I can't wait to get a new body. Second of all, I can't wait to see the great reunion of the saints. And I can't wait. I cannot wait, but I will, to hug Jesus. But until then, those of us who are alive in Jesus Christ, we are hugging the Christ in one another. Christ lives in you, Christ lives in me. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And sometimes that's kind of hard. Sometimes we don't treat our bodies well. Sometimes we don't say the right things that come out of our bodies. Sometimes we don't do the right things. It takes a village kind of concept, someone to keep us accountable, someone to help us. Jesus was no different. Jesus needed his disciples to do his work. That's you and me, but if we are credible in our work, we need to show we are a new creation in Christ and not going through the motions. How many of you on Saturday nights think, okay, well, I got church tomorrow. And that means I got to set my alarm and I don't get to sleep in. And that means I've got to make sure I've got something to wear, gas in the car. Got to get the kids up and they may complain. Spouse may complain. That's going through the motions. That's going to church. But if you wake up on Sabbath morning and go, wow, I need church. I had a hard week. I need church. I want my church family to pray for me. Or, wow, I'm ready to go and enjoy the fellowship of Jesus Christ in my Sunday school class. Or, wow, you know, I need to hear the person that claims Christ sitting next to me say the Lord's Prayer. I need to hear that voice. As I heard that this morning, I could hear the various voices. I love that. I love that. I need to sing the great old hymns of faith that I'm united with the saints that have already gone above because I'm singing the same songs they sung and that they grabbed a hold of and found encouragement in. Jesus still needs his disciples today, and I'm reminded that it takes a village. It takes a village to support our food pantry. It takes a village for us to go and serve the homeless at Stone Soup or Stew Pot. It's going to take a village to carry out this new ministry that we adopted at our recent church council planning retreat of taking challenged young people, assessing their gifts and their talents, and helping them find appropriate employment. Wow. How exciting is that, to help someone find fulfillment in work and be a blessing while doing it? Transformation. So how do we become transformed and then sustain this vitality? Well, Paul has something to say about that too in Hebrews. Do not stay away from your meetings as some habitually do, but be encouraging to one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. You know what that's saying? That's not saying the preacher's shaking her finger in your face and saying, you need to be in church. Although I've done that with some of you. Love you. That's the word of God saying it's for your good. It's for the good of the village or the family or the body of Christ to be in worship and fellowship for one another, for one another, with one another, by encouraging. Have you heard the latest? That's not encouraging. Praying for one another, loving one another. Long time ago, there was a man named Nicodemus. He was an important man. But there's something missing in his life. Imagine with me that night. And this man that's so important is standing on the fringes of the light and the darkness. And he stands in the fringes of the light, and the light of the world, Jesus Christ, is standing before him. And he asks a question, a life-changing, transforming, rejuvenating question. What must I do to be saved and have eternal life? Jesus says, you must be born anew. And in my mind, I have this wonderful image of Nicodemus leaving the fringes of the light and the darkness and stepping into the light with the darkness surrounded. And you know what happens when you do that? There's a halo. When the light shines down upon you, say you're even on a dark stage of life, a halo forms around you. A halo which is spreading the light, don't you see? It's gone from upon your head, on your body, outward. Think about that image. When we have Jesus Christ living in our hearts, living for Jesus, sharing Jesus, we have stepped away from the fringes of light and into the light which the darkness cannot overcome, and indeed the light which forms and wraps around you, as well as radiates out from within you to other people. So this morning, my challenge to you is this. I want each and every one in this room to find a quiet moment today, even if it's in the car driving home, and ask yourselves, have I been transformed in Jesus Christ? Am I still in the process of that transformation, that rejuvenation? Am I still converting? And how am I converting? And when you find those answers, you will know if you have a lot more work to do or just a bit. but you will also have the confidence of knowing you can share that with others as you share Christ. And they're all around us, everywhere. And it's not like we have to start preaching a lot of scripture and biblical stuff. All we have to do is just say, you know, I really needed the Lord today, and he came through for me. People are a lot more comfortable out there in the world with the word the Lord. You say Jesus or Christ, they start drawing in a little bit. A lot of people are more comfortable with God or the Lord. I've noticed that. And giving a witness to someone, sharing the light with someone, practicing and living your rejuvenation with someone is as simple as, I really needed the Lord today, and he came through for me. How you doing? How you doing? And then silently, in your heart, pray, Lord, this could be a life-changing God moment for someone. It's already affecting me. Tell me what to do. Give me the words to say. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment today is Amazing Grace 378. You don't need your hymnal. You have this thing memorized, don't you? But I invite any and everyone who would like to come and pray about what I've just preached about today. Any of you that would like to come forward and to pray, any who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, it's not complicated. The hard part is just being true to Jesus Christ, and all of us are on that journey. So let us stand as we sing 378, Amazing Grace.
Oh,
such joy to be in worship with you today. Again, I'm so thankful to our youth praise band and singers to help us lead in worship. As always, I'm so grateful to the choir and our liturgist. It does take a village not only to offer worship, but it takes a village to be in the act of worship together as the body of Christ. May we go forward in this blessing. And now, God, God of grace and God of glory, God of amazing grace, the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now, be in us now, flow from us now, and forevermore. Amen.